Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alamin. Arrahmanirrahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. I declare that there is no other God worthy of worship other than Allah, and that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is the final messenger of Allah. Every time we come together, make the Shahada or take the Shahada, because it's such an important part of our faith. Every time we meet and greet each other, we should have it in our minds. Now, when we are studying the sacred text like we have been doing in the series, we have a look at the origins of the Bible, we have a look at the origins of Scripture. We're having a look at the comparisons between the Bible and the Quran. And so far in these episodes, we've targeted mostly the Christian Bible. And we want to see if this document is a historically accurate text. Can we trust the Bible? Can we say that the Bible has not been perverted or changed or manipulated or used in any way or form to maybe promote one sort of political agenda or one type of people? Can it be used as a tool that actually teaches people to be anti another organization or anti another group of people, anti another continental people? So we're having a look at the development of this text. So when we have a look at the development of the Bible, one of the things that we're going to look at is how it has affected history. And so in the last episode, we looked at a short history of the Bible and how it evolved and who was responsible. We looked at how Constantine affected the Bible, how he manipulated it and brought in the cults into Christianity, made sure that the days that Christianity celebrated were the same days that pagans celebrated. He moved the worship of the one God to the worship of three gods. He moved the worship from a Friday or a Saturday to a Sunday, which was the S-U-N day, how he overlapped the sun god and the S-O-N god over each other so that people would be confused. And now we are going to look, inshallah, at the Old Testament. The Old Testament is the first part of the Bible that makes up the modern Christian Bible. So where does the Old Testament come from? You know, many Christians will say that we know that the New Testament is true because the Old Testament was preserved intact and was never affected by any corruption. And it tells of prophecies and things that will happen in the New Testament. So we need to test this to see if this is in fact true. So we all start off with the Old Testament. Who is the author of the Old Testament? Now, many people are confused and want to know who authored the Old Testament. You see, it's very easy for us with the Quran. We know who authored it. But in the Bible, it becomes quite complicated. And each book needs to be explained on its own. Now, in future series coming up, we'll have a look at overview of the entire Bible, where we'll go through each book of the Bible and look at the issues containing or pertaining to that specific book. But the author of the Old Testament is very difficult to pinpoint, because many of them are attributed to, or it is suggested that perhaps it was written by. And many of those people who it has been claimed wrote those books, it couldn't have possibly been written by them because they were dead. So these people were writing about themselves when they were dead, which is impossible. So the problem comes when we come to a text that claims to be the infallible word of God, and we find just one mistake in it. It creates doubt over everything. And doubt is one of the diseases that is unable to be cured. If you have doubt in your faith, if you have doubt in your life, if you have doubt about how faithful your husband is or how faithful your wife is, it destroys your entire relationship. So if there's doubt in the text, even just one, it makes you very worried about how you can rely or trust that text. If I told you there were 2 or 3 or 4 or 100 or 2,000 or 10,000 errors within that text, would you read it? No, you wouldn't. You would feel that that text is no longer reliable as a historical document. If you were in a court case, for example, and the judge asked you to produce your evidence, and the judge found at the end of the case that there are 10,000 errors in your statement, do you think that you are going to go to be freed, or do you think you're going to go to jail? You're going to go to jail because it's unreliable evidence. And so the historical accuracy of what you said in that court case is untrustworthy. And so what we find in the Old Testament, there are many forms. None of these texts that I spoke about, these three texts, are found in its originality today. There is none of these texts exist. So we have to, again, the second part of it is one is unreliability in the text, of the Old Testament. In other words, there are three different versions all saying the same things. It's not just one text that agrees. There are many, many different texts that are all saying similar things. And none of these texts that were written then are in existence today. Somehow they disappeared. Now, I have said many times before that if you take the Bible and you had to burn it and destroy it, and you had to take the Quran and burn it and destroy it, how long do you think it would take before the Muslims to write the Quran back in its form again? By the end of the weekend, somebody would have written it back exactly the same way it was. And we wouldn't have to get people from Saudi Arabia, wouldn't have to go to the other side of the continent to get learned people from America or Britain. We'd be able to do it in the local towns, or the local townships, or the local areas that we are. So if you are watching in America, you wouldn't have to go out of state to find somebody to write the Quran again, because there's somebody in your area that lives in your area that can recite the entire Quran from the beginning to end without missing one comma, dot, or verse. You would get it exactly like that. How long do you think it would take the Christians to do the same thing with their Bible? Well, if we came back and maybe in a spaceship and went back in time and we were able to, or maybe go back and forward in time to the year 2777, they still wouldn't have it together. They probably still wouldn't have an agreement on what the book of Matthew was supposed to look like, or the book, or maybe the smaller books like the book of Peter, because no one has ever memorized the Bible. No one has bothered to memorize the Bible. And because it keeps changing, there's not one universal way of memorizing it. Because even John 3:16, the famous verse in John 3:16, doesn't agree every single version of the Bible. However, with the Quran, we can destroy every single Quran there was, and by to the end of the week, we would have them all back exactly the same way it was before. And anyway, one of the things that we found with the Quran is that it has reliability and consistency. Now, we are talking mostly about the New Testament, and I'm sort of going off topic comparing, but when we have a look at these texts, we want to see that there is some type of original text available that we can refer to. If people are claiming that the Bible has been around for 2,000 years, it would be nice to actually see these texts that date back for 2,000 years. If the Old Testament claims to be around for 7,000 years or 6,000 years, we'd like to see texts that go back further than 800 years before Christ, where we find that most of the texts that we have today are the oldest texts that we have date to 916 AD. Now, this is not a very, very good way to prove to us that the Bible, that the Old Testament predated Christianity, when the only text that we find, the oldest manuscripts, the oldest Hebrew text, the oldest Bible, dates to the 9th century AD. That's 916 years after Christ. So that's not going to help us terribly much. We want reliable, trustworthy documentation and evidence. Now, many Christians will say that the Dead Sea Scrolls are the evidence of this, but we have problems dating these back further than 100 years or 200 years before Christ. And so the scriptures themselves, the Septuagint, the first translations into the Greek language, they are around the 3rd century BC. And it is alleged, not enough evidence or proof on this, that it was put together by 70 Jews at that time. So we don't have very accurate documentation that goes back earlier than that. Now, if we compare other cultures, for example, the Syrian cultures, the Egyptian cultures, the Greek cultures, the Roman cultures, they've got very, very accurate records for what happened in their religions, even though these religions were created, and many people know that they're not reliable religions. These are just thought-up religions to manipulate people at that time. These religions were created to control and manipulate the minds of the masses. They have more accurate scriptures, more accurate documentation, more reliable documentation than the Old Testament has. So basic Greek text is used in the Christian world that is used today is very unreliable, and it's not reliable in the way that we would say these other texts from other pagan religions are. They are far more reliable than the texts that we have in today's Old Testament. Now, the texts that are used, that the Christians use for the Greek text, we have the Codex Vaticanus in the Vatican City. And the Vatican City, those who have ever visited the Vatican City, they have sometimes on display some of the copies of these documents. And they are considered the oldest in the world. So 600 years later, these texts are found, which are translations from the Greek text. So that's what you would find in the Vaticanus. Then we have the Codex Alexandrinus, which is believed to be the third oldest in the world. And they are around also the 6th century. And then the third group that you have is the Codex Sinaiticus, also claims to be the oldest in the world. And that is around the 4th century that you find it. But before that, we find nothing. So all this is after the Christ of the Christian calendar. The Christian calendar, AD, after Anno Dominus, which is saying that these documents are post the Christian documents. So we find the Old Testament is actually written after the New Testament. Doesn't make much sense when people look at it and they say, but the New Testament fulfills things that took place in the Old Testament, where most of the Old Testament writings are dated after the New Testament. So we have a problem. We must also remember that 52 scholars put together what is known as, for example, the Revised Standard Version of the Bible, when the Good News Bible was written, when the Living Bible was written, when the New International Version was written, when the Revised Standard Version was written, when the New King James Version was written. Scholars came together and they decided how they were going to change these texts. So what happened? We had 52 scholars who backed up some of the writings of the new versions of the Bibles, like, for example, the Revised Standard Version. And these 52 scholars have said that this Bible that I have in front of me here, that thousands or millions of Christians follow throughout the world, the King James Version. And I would recommend that any Muslim or any person gets hold of the King James Version. 52 scholars came together from 50 different Christian denominations, Anglican, Methodist, Presbyterian, Baptist, Congregationalist. They all came together from different religious Christian denominations. And they said that the King James Version of the New Testament has been based upon the text from the Greek text, is marred with so many mistakes that they don't think that it is a reliable text anymore. And they say that it contains so many mistakes and errors in it from the 14th century manuscripts that they copied from, that there was a need to have a revised version of it. And this was in 1589 that they said that they needed to change it. So the Revised Standard Version was produced. If you get yourself a standard version, you'll see right in the very beginning of the Revised Standard Version, it says that there were so many errors and so many problems with the King James Version from the original copies that they copied from, that they had to bring out a new version. That's why we call it the Revised Standard Version, because it is a new version. So we're going to look shortly after we take a short break, and when we get back from a short break, we're going to look at more shocking confessions from scholars of the Bible. So inshallah, enjoy your break, and when we get back, more shocking evidence from the Bible. Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. We are continuing our study of the Old Testament and looking at the comparative between the Old Testament errors and the scholars of today and what they say about the errors in the Old Testament of the Bible. Now, we often look and we think that it's the Muslims that are saying, oh, these horrible things about Christians. These are Christian scholars that are saying this about their own text. These are great leaders from 52 scholars from 50 different Christian denominations who are making shocking confessions about the Bible. They're saying that the King James Version is full of so many errors that it was necessary, and I'll quote from the Revised Standard Version, which is written right in the front page of the Revised Standard Version, and as you open it up, it says, the King James Version has grave defects. These grave defects are so many and so serious as to recall a revision of the entire Bible. So they admit that the Bible has got so many errors in it that they had to try to save it from itself and revise it and bring a new text into existence. So let's look at where these ideas come from. Where did they find, what text did they use to try and bring out the Revised Standard Version as we have it today? Or the other versions, like a Good News Bible and a Living Bible and a New International Version. The first one is called the Codex Sinaiticus. It's 400 years after Christ, the Codex Sinaiticus was put together. So 400 years later, after the supposed life of Christ, according to Christians marking it from the death, this book was put together. And we can find the Codex Sinaiticus if you want to go online on the internet. You type in Codex Sinaiticus. Inshallah, hopefully they will put up the name Codex Sinaiticus for you. So you can see how it's spelled and you can do research for yourself on this. Now, the Codex Sinaiticus was a 4th century manuscript that was found in Greek. And the writings of this Bible were around about 330 to 350 years after the Christ in its original writings. And the whole book, the Old Testament and the New Testament of this writing were put together, and there were many books that were put into this the Codex Sinaiticus, which we don't find today in our New Testament or Old Testament. Some of these books were left out, even though the scholars came together to put the Revised Standard Version together. They said there are errors in the King James Version. When they came together to put this together, they still chose to leave out very reliable documentation. Now, these scholars that looked at the Codex Sinaiticus, there were two or three books that were very, very important that should have been in the Bible that are not there. They left out the Epistle of Barnabas, and they left out the shepherd's writings, and many other smaller books were also left out, editorial. Now, why were these books left out? These are the most reliable texts they have. For example, the scholars say, and biblical scholars this is, and theologians say, that the book of Barnabas was probably one of the most reliable texts that was written. Yet this is the book that, even when they did the Revised Standard Version of the Bible, they chose to leave it out. Now, if you don't want to know the reason they left out the book of Barnabas, you can get yourself a copy. If you have a local bookshop near you, or if you have access to the internet, just look there for the Gospel or the Epistle of Barnabas, and you can get it. It's not a very long book, and I know it is downloadable for free. And I know that if you read it, you will understand immediately why they've left this book out. Now, I'm not going to give away any secrets, because in future episodes, inshallah, we're going to look at the book of Barnabas. But there were very important reasons that they chose to leave these books out. The second codex that was found, or the second collection of a completed version of the Bible, was called the Codex Alexandrinus. And it was about 600 years after Christ that this was found. And it was a 6th century manuscript, also in Greek. And it goes along with the Codex Sinaiticus and the Codex Vaticanus. So these go all together. And it's one of the most earliest completed versions of the Bible. And the British held this book to be very important, and it's held in museums and a number of other places where you can find it. And of course, there's the last one, which is the Codex Vaticanus, which is obviously kept in the Vatican. Now, what is interesting about the Codex Vaticanus is that the order of the Old Testament books are different to the way we find them in the King James Version or Revised Standard Version or the Good News Bible. What we find is that we had the books of Genesis to Chronicles in different orders. All the books of the Bible have been placed in different order. And yet, today we've moved that order, and we've changed that order, and we've put it in the way we have it today. Now, there was a man called Constantine von Tuschenberg. This man was a man who studied the scriptures, who studied the text. And Constantine von Tuschendorf, he discovered the Sinaiticus on the 4th of February, 1859. And what he found is he found this in a monastery in Mount Sinai. And what he did is he started to go through these texts and read them. And it caused major apprehension in the Christian world when he found these texts, because he started to discover that there were many inconsistencies in the way the text had been translated by previous scholars. So when he discovered the Sinaiticus on the 4th of February, and he found these 346 odd pages or leaves of in this cathedral that he found in Mount Sinai, the people in the world were very apprehensive about this, because they wondered, now, if he releases these pages, if he releases these texts, what happens if it contradicts what the modern Bible says? What happens if it goes against what texts are around at that moment? Could it cause problems? You see, anytime new manuscripts are found, you see the whole of Christendom go, and they hold their breath because they're afraid of what it might reveal. It might go across something. You know, we as Muslims, if a new text comes out in Addis Ababa or other places in the world, we don't worry too much about it. We know that these are going to agree with the text that we already have. We are excited when a new discovery is found. When somebody finds new texts of the Quran from copies that were written 800 years ago or 900 years ago, we're excited because we know they're going to agree with the text that we have that predate that. We don't worry that a text that's written 100 years ago is going to be any different from one that was written 1,000 years ago to one that was written 1,400 years ago. They're going to agree. However, every time new texts are revealed with Christians, they are very, very worried about it, because they know that it's not going to agree. We can't even get the Gospels to agree. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John don't agree on anything, as we will discover when we get to the New Testament. When compared with the New Testament, there are 14,800 editorial alterations and additions in the book that they found in these texts that they had found. So Constantine von Tuschendorf, when he found these texts, he found there were 14,800 editorial alterations. So what we have a big problem. So when we come to the Old Testament, we find that there are great inconsistencies in it. And every time we compare these notes together, there are more and more problems. So now let's move on from looking at the Old Testament. I know I haven't given as much detail as we are going to try and get through this and give you information as much as possible, so that you know what to expect when a missionary or a Christian comes to your door, or you are in confrontation or talking to them or want to do dawah to them. You know what they are dealing with, what text that they are using. And if you can tell them, like, the text that you are using, these are the errors, these are the problems with it. If you can show me an original text without defect, without changes, and you say, well, this is the final word of God, we're not going to have any more alterations, this is it, this is the last version of the Bible, there's no other version coming out after this, then you can say, fine, we can have an intellectual conversation and we can accept that the Old Testament is a reliable document, a reliable history document. But so far we have discovered that the Old Testament is not a reliable historical document. The Old Testament is full of errors, it's full of alteration, and it's full of changes. We are now going to move on to the next section, and we're going to just touch a little bit on the New Testament, or the origins of the Gospels especially. And then in the future episodes, we're going to go into more detail, inshallah, on the origins of the New Testament and the Gospels. So let's have a look at the origins of the Gospels. First of all, we have the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So Matthew, John, Luke, and Mark, we're going to look at these. I know we like to say Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but we're going to look at them, Matthew, John, Luke, and Mark, going from the oldest to the youngest. The first one, Matthew, was written about 100 AD. John was written about 110 AD. Luke was written about 75 AD. And Mark was written about 60 to 65 AD. Now, why am I telling you all this? Let's do a little bit of a calculation. Matthew, who was supposedly one of the disciples of the Prophet Isa, peace be upon him, would have probably been in his 30s or 40s when he was with the Prophet Isa, peace be upon him, walking around on planet Earth. So therefore, when he decided to write the Gospels for the first time, he would have been 140 to 150 years old. Unlikely. John would have been 170 to 160. Luke would have been 70 plus 30, so he would have been in his 90s or maybe even 100. And Mark the same, he would also be 100 to 120 years old. So then none of these people that are attributed to writing the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John could possibly have written them because they'd have been dead for more than 10 to 20 years, or maybe some of them even longer. So all the authors of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are dead at the time of compilation. And these above dates are just theorized dates. There's no ways that they could have possibly written them. And so we can already see before we even get into the New Testament that the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are written by anonymous people. The people that they're attributed to could not possibly have written them because they have been dead, and that means they had to come back from the grave to have written them. So as we get into the New Testament, it's going to be exciting because we're going to find comparative information that is just beyond ridiculous. And you'll be able to have really good information to speak to the missionaries and the evangelists and the Christians who try to convert you from Islam to Christianity. The times are changing. We are going to see millions of Christians, inshallah, come to Islam when we reveal the truth, when we show truth from error, when we allow the Quran to speak for itself, when we bring a text that is without error, without contradiction, without silliness, by an author who received the revelation, by the author who is Allah, by the scripts that were written down by the man, the revelation that was brought through the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and was given to him to give to mankind. This is going to be an exciting adventure, and we're going to continue to look, inshallah, at the text of the New Testament, look at the origins of the Gospel, who wrote these Gospels, what was their motive, what was the reason behind it. Today we have such an amazing time ahead of us to look at these great changes that are taking in society, changing in the world. We can see these evidences that have been revealed by archaeologists, by scientists. We're finding that much of the information about the New Testament is unreliable, untrustworthy. And inshallah, in the next and future episode, we'll go into more detail and more depth. Thank you for listening, and assalamu alaikum.